An organization exists on the University of Alaska campus called the Associated Students of the University of Alaska. It is this organization, with its elected representatives, that serves as the governing body for some 1,600 full-time students on our main campus. This is our story today, Focus Student Government, on This Is Your University. Of course, any government is automatically personified by its leader, and the leader of the Associated Students at the university does personify our student government. To gain an insight into the workings, activities, and more important, the philosophy behind student government at the university, your reporter interviewed Phil Holland, a 20-year-old soft-spoken philosophy major, now in his junior year. Phil has the confidence of a leader. He makes you want to listen when he talks. Phil became president by accident at the university when the president resigned last year, and Phil, by virtue of his vice presidential office, moved to the top position. Originally from Colorado, Phil ran on his own when his first term expired, and he was reelected. He says he chose the university, quote, primarily because it's different. You can be several different people in Alaska, you can live in a log cabin and rough it or put on a tie and play executive. President Holland feels the University of Alaska sports a more international flavor than national, possibly, he says, due to the geographical location of the school. In many ways, he says, I think we feel more apart than students in the other states. I don't mean we feel any less a part of the union, but I do think in many respects our students here have a better awareness than many other students elsewhere. As president of the Associated Students last year, Holland spearheaded a drive and personally participated in a complete overhaul and reorganization of the student government organization on the campus. It seems to me, Holland says, that student government in the past dwelt too exclusively on inane or needless projects and ideas. I wanted to get us moving again. You can't have an expanding institution with part of that institution stagnant. That was student government, stagnant. Holland now wants to institute programs that will create more general student interest in student government. Indicative of such programming is a program yet in its infant planning stages. It would be modeled after the federal government's VISTA program, Volunteers in Service to America, often referred to as the Domestic Peace Corps. President Holland would like to see the day, however, that students could be organized into groups that would go to many of the bush communities throughout the state and help the citizens there with their community projects, their civic problems, and in general to help them lead a better life. Phil would also like to see an interest taken on the students' part in the planning of the academic curriculum at the university. Such interest could possibly be relayed from an advisory committee to the university's academic vice president. Phil sees great things in store for both the university and the state. An avid skier, he believes that someday Alaska will become a gigantic tourist ski haven. We have everything built in, he says. We're a natural. His main concern remains, however, in having the student body become more aware of their student government. First, says Holland, the student government must show tangible and constructive returns before it can expect a better foundation. I got into student government because I felt they just weren't getting enough done, says Holland, and I still feel that we should listen just as strongly to our most vicious opponent as to our most gracious supporters. When people don't care enough to oppose, then you're in trouble. And so Phil Holland, student and student president, puts in another day. Another day spent hard in study and hard in efforts to help his fellow students. This is our focus on student government. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the university radio station, KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Of 280 state universities and land-grant colleges throughout the United States, only a dozen avoided raising student costs this year. One of these universities to hold the line on cost is the University of Alaska, your university. For Alaskans, total fees and room and board for an entire school year is only $1,225 at the University of Alaska. This is our story today, the cost of your future, on This Is Your University. One of the large problems facing parents of students approaching college age today is the skyrocketing cost of a college education. The average annual cost for one student to attend a private college in the United States is about $2,400 per year. The annual cost figured on the average for one student to attend a public, tax-supported college or university is about $1,600. Each year, most institutions are raising their costs, commensurate with their enrollment. Not only did the University of Alaska not increase fees this year, they lowered the total cost by $20. So this year, the average cost for attending 1 year at the University of Alaska is $1,225 as opposed to $1,245 1 year ago. Based on the national average of $1,600, which undoubtedly will increase each year, young parents today may look forward to a minimum expense of $6,400 for each of their children to acquire a college education. And to this must be added the extra fringe cost for clothing, books, and incidentals. For parents with three children, this is a startling $20,000 expense that they will face sometime in the future. A big cost? Certainly. But how many parents can afford it? Because of expenses involved, it seems probable that many individual high school students will be denied the opportunity for higher education. It certainly is not the fault of the student if his parents cannot afford their schooling, and we cannot expect the federal government to finance educations for all these young men and women. For this reason, then, the university programs of student financial aid are becoming more and more important. At the University of Alaska, this aid takes the form of various scholarships, grants in aid, loans, and part-time employment. Last year, $309,795 went to more than 400 different students through some type of financial aid program. For instance, 23 students shared in Alaska Native scholarships, 40 shared in stateroom scholarships, 73 students shared in scholarships resulting from a state's income willed to the university. 109 students qualified for special earthquake scholarships from the Ford Foundation. Student loans amounted to more than $67,000 during the last academic year. How do students apply for scholarships? Alaska high school students who plan to attend the university may apply through their high school guidance offices. It is necessary for them to be admitted to the university and have the results of their American College tests on file before the university's Scholarships Committee can review their application. Currently enrolled students may apply through the Office of Student Affairs on the main campus. However, few loans were available to incoming freshmen or transfer students this school year because of a shortage of loan funds. "It is unfortunate," said University President Dr. William R. Wood, "that there are not enough scholarship and loan funds available to assist all the qualified and deserving students." With the cost of college education rising each year, such financial aid funds are of utmost importance if many bright students are not to be denied an opportunity to learn. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Would you imagine putting a small cottage, a tree, a stump, several canyons, some rivers, a swing, and a bedroom aboard a flight from Fairbanks to Juneau, together with some 30 University of Alaska students? Of course, the canyons and rivers are painted on canvas, and the rest of the equipment are props. It's that time of year once again when the University of Alaska Drama Workshop hits the road. And that's our story today on This Is Your University. A department whose product has become more and more in demand by Alaskans throughout the state is the University of Alaska's Drama Workshop. Under the direction of Professor Lee Salisbury, who is, as well, head of the Department of Speech, Radio, and Drama, the University Drama Workshop productions have gained not only an excellent reputation locally, but wherever they have appeared. Professor Salisbury has been with the university 10 years now, and in that time he has seen almost a complete renovation of the campus. The drama department has acquired use of Scheibel Hall on the main campus for its Fairbanks area productions. Each year it is asked by far more communities than it may visit to present a production locally. From the icy winds of the coastal city of Nome, where the university won acclaim by becoming the first group ever to present a stage play in that settlement, to the first city of Ketchikan and Alaska's capital, Juneau, the university's drama workshop receives a warm welcome whenever they travel. This traveling company has even furthered international relations by each year entering the annual White Horse International Drama Festival. Professor Salisbury is fond of White Horse. The city has one-third the population of Fairbanks, he says, and yet I think if we played a month straight, we would have packed houses every night. White Horse, he continues, is a very theater-minded community. Soon, the company will take Little Mary Sunshine to Juneau for two performances under the sponsorship of the Juneau Douglas Little Theater. Professor Salisbury wishes the time and money were available to make trips possible to each Alaskan city. But since all the actors and actresses are students, time away from classes means time to be made up, and too long away can sometimes have dastardly consequences for even the best of students. There is, however, in the foreseeable future, the possibility that the drama workshop may be able to travel to more and more communities as the university expands. Another plan of Professor Salisbury's is to take productions to the bush, the small, hard-to-reach Alaskan villages and settlements throughout the state, to show people what theater is. Some of these people, in fact, most of them, have never seen a stage play, says Professor Salisbury. I think it would indeed be rewarding to be a part of a project that would enable people to experience the magic of living theater for the first time in their lives. And so it goes. Students working and working hard in an area that is given as a class but demands stern dedication. The world of dramatics is not an easy one, but the students relish the challenge. It's the world of grease paint and smells from paint on canvas, plywood, and the wigs and costumes. It's rough, demanding, and often laced with terrible, tormenting hours of rehearsal after rehearsal. It's called the University of Alaska Drama Workshop, and we wish we could tell you more. But the curtain is going up, and the director is calling for silence on the set. Another production is underway. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. What exactly is a modern university? Emerging as a new kind of institution of higher learning, a modern university is dedicated to filling an entire range of intellectual and cultural needs of a vast area and all of the public needs for higher education of this huge state. This is our story today on This Is Your University. A modern university, such as the University of Alaska, is a community of scholars, a home for several disciplines, a center in which many kinds of professional education are gathered. It is a center for advancing knowledge through research, a place where error is exposed by the collision of mind with mind and knowledge with knowledge. To be sure, the University of Alaska is all of this, but it is different as well. The university is responsible, under Alaska's state constitution, for extending educational opportunities to all who qualify and are capable. It is also responsible for training technicians and professional practitioners and providing a general education beyond high school. In order to fulfill its mission under rapidly changing conditions, the University of Alaska must continually reevaluate its role. Under law, it must consider the many and diverse types of higher educational needs and take appropriate action to meet them. Such action was taken more than a decade ago. The university's Board of Regents adopted the concept of expanding university activities into the areas of the state with the greatest need, while at the same time expanding the main campus at college as the state's higher educational center. From this concept has evolved the evening and correspondence programs, including military on-base classes in six locations, research stations at communities throughout the state, the Cooperative Extension Service, serving many remote areas, and such special programs as mining extension and fisheries extension. Augmenting this service, community colleges have been established in six Alaska communities to serve local community needs for lower division academic courses, occupational courses, and general adult studies at a low cost. Anchorage Community College, established in 1953, is the oldest and largest in the state. In its 11 years, it has enrolled more than 20,000 people. It has offered more than 100 courses each year, and in the recent fall term, enrollment was 886. The number of technical students almost doubled, and non-academic credit hours more than doubled since 1963, showing the great need for technical and occupational education. More and more, the Anchorage Community College is called upon to provide specialized technical vocational education designed to prepare men and women for specific jobs. Seven such courses were taught during the fall term: electronics, clerk steno refresher, clerk steno entry, clerk typist, basic education, highway technician, and draftsman. Courses in engine mechanics, auto mechanics, and welding are also taught. The community college also offers a two-year curriculum in office administration and in police science, and a one-year curriculum in practical nursing. Surprising to some is the effect on the main campus of serving many higher educational needs locally throughout the state. It does not decrease the enrollment at the main campus, rather it increases it. Diversity and comprehensiveness are the key ideas in the development of public higher education in our modern world. The University of Alaska follows this concept. It has the fortunate opportunity to maintain Alaska's rating as the state whose citizens rank second in the amount of formal education. Perhaps it can become number one. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. The Office of Naval Research recently awarded the University of Alaska a $10,000 grant to continue a research program already in its fifth year to study the structural and mechanical properties of sea ice. This research has given tremendous aid to one of Alaska's growing industries, and this research may serve, and rightly so, as a memorial to progress in American industry made possible by cooperation and joint effort on the part of our military and civilian scientists. Our story today is about sea ice on This Is Your University. Research by a University of Alaska professor initiated 5 years ago has contributed greatly to the progress of Alaska's rapidly expanding oil industry. In 1961, Harold Payton, a university faculty member and consultant to the Arctic Environmental Engineering Laboratory, began studies into the mechanical and structural properties of sea ice, the steel-hard ice flows that smash and grind whatever lie in their path. I grew to respect the strength of ice, especially sea ice, and knew that if Alaska was ever to be fully developed, the construction industry would need to know a great deal more about building in the icy conditions of the sub and the full Arctic, Payton said. And so he crushed ice under exact testing conditions to determine its structural and mechanical properties. He analyzed the giant ice cakes which ride the currents and tides of the oceans surrounding Alaska. When Shell Oil decided to build drilling and pumping platforms in the Cook Inlet near Anchorage 2 years ago, the firm's engineers were faced with 30-foot tides and movements of massive ice flows that choked the inlet while riding in and out with the tide. This was part of the problem that Harold Payton had been studying for the past 5 years. The problems created by the ice in Alaskan waters surpassed those the company had encountered in building platforms that could withstand the force of hurricanes along the coast of Louisiana. And so Shell called in Payton and asked him to help calculate how strong such platforms would have to be to resist the force of ice. Working with the Shell engineers, Payton helped to develop the needed criteria to guide construction and design of the platform. The first one went up in 1964 and provides living space for the work crews, a 200-foot drill rig, and a heliport. Here, citizens witnessed the payoff. The payoff from research done by a civilian scientist under a military grant that benefited efforts by a private firm to develop a new industry in a still infant state. And the Navy recognized Payton's efforts and their value to the state and the national economies. This week, the Office of Naval Research awarded the university a $10,111 grant for continuation of Professor Payton's work at the U of A, sending the project into its sixth year. When working on his research on sea ice, Payton alternates his time between labs at the university's main campus and the Arctic Research Laboratory at Barrow and the Shell Project in Cook Inlet. Also benefiting from this recent grant will be Philip R. Johnson, a research assistant at the Geophysical Institute. Since Shell built their first offshore drill rig, one more has been erected, and both are now in operation, while six more are planned for building next summer. Each of these platforms will produce about 30,000 barrels of crude oil per day, which is a tanker load. This will be 8 shiploads per day within the next year. The work accomplished by Harold Payton serves as an example. It shows you how your tax dollars work for you to build a stable future for Alaska. It tells the story of just how important the role of the military is in the building of the Union's largest state. And it shows, too, how the University of Alaska contributes to yet another phase of its far-reaching responsibilities. At the University of Alaska, education continues to include doing, working, and planning, besides learning, so that we may build a better Alaska for all Alaskans. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Just last year, the University of Alaska's main library obtained an extra room large enough to initiate a concerted effort in the area of preserving private and public papers and documents important or relevant to Alaska's rich and colorful history. Also, papers that reflect on the university's history are also kept here. The job has just begun, and that's what we want to tell you about today on This Is Your University. A congenial, soft-spoken young man named Paul McCarthy is responsible for the University of Alaska Archives. Sitting at Judge James Wickersham's huge, heavy desk, it's at least 6 feet by 6 feet, Paul works with his secretary at sorting, filing, and storing the hundreds of books, pamphlets, letters, magazines, encyclopedias, newspapers, and myriad other articles that daily flow in from all parts of the state as donations to the university. Important documents and letters are stored in a unique way. Have you ever noticed how a rusty colored ring appears around a paper clip after it's attached to ordinary paper a while? Well, Paul explained that this is due to the acid content found in most papers, and to avoid this rust ring on important papers in the archive files, they are placed in special folders made of anti-acid paper, and you can feel the difference. Then the folders are placed in special vermin-resistant boxes. Paul was careful to point out the difference between vermin-resistant and vermin-proof. We're still bothered with silverfish from time to time, but to no serious degree, he said. These boxes are vermin-resistant because they contain no glue. They are constructed with wire corner supports. Silverfish and other insects are attracted to ordinary box glue, and they feed on it. Eventually, once inside boxes, they will eat the binding and even the glue right off a book. You think it's all papers and dusty books? Not so. Off to one side are two chairs. Both were owned by the late Judge Wickersham. They match the desk in size. Sometimes, Paul said thoughtfully, rubbing his chin, it can be awfully difficult to get anything accomplished in here when you start rummaging through all this history, especially when you realize that you're probably the second or third person, at best, who's ever seen it. Off in another corner, a 1933 Fairbanks newspaper bannered a story, FDR promises New Deal for Americans and Nation. At Fairbanks Empress Theater, the biggest draw since Clara Bow was packing him in. Her name, Jean Harlow. Mountains of dusty law books are stacked on shelves and on the floor near Paul's desk. For the university's law school, McCarthy motioned. Someday, he added. Number 4 of 100 signed copies of Alaska's Constitution, written by delegates assembled on the campus of the University of Alaska, is carefully tucked away in a fireproof filing cabinet. Next to it lays a gavel carved of ivory. The inscription on it reads, quote, official gavel used by the Alaska Constitutional Convention, 1955. William A. Egan, President. In yet another corner, several cardboard boxes hold partially burned letters bearing the letterhead of the Northern Commercial Company in its earlier days. In 1933, a manager had written a customer that, in answer to the customer's inquiry, he was informing him that it would take at least $15 to repair the crack in the block of your engine. The year was 1933. Letters from Anthony J. Diamond, Alaska's first delegate to Congress, only recently arrived. They are among the archive's most coveted and treasured documents. In one huge volume, there rest a letter and authentic signature of each one of all the presidents of the United States, Washington through Lyndon B. Johnson. I believe Washington's was the more expensive, Paul related. That ran about $500. And so you've met Paul McCarthy. He's got quite a job ahead. Making history may not be difficult, but keeping it intact and organized most certainly is. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton.